ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते Narada and King Prithinabadi. Today we are on verse 55. Satham vichikshya mrigacheshti tamatmanonta.
Satham vichikshya mrigacheshti tamatmanonta.
Satham vichikshya mrigacheshti tamatmanonta. चित्तं नियच्छ हृदि कर्ण धुनीं च चित्ते।
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 जयं घनाशम सत्तम यत्थ गाथम्। त्रिणी हंसा शरणं विरमक्रमेण। त्रिणी हंसा शरणं विरमक्रमेण।
S isn't just like ours. I can't tell the difference.
Sattvam vichiksha mrigacheshtitam atmanonta.
Sattvam vichiksha mrigacheshtitam atmanonta.
Sattvam vichiksha mrigacheshtitam atmanonta.
Sattvam vichiksha mrigacheshtitam atmanonta.
चित्तं नियच्छ हृदि कर्ण धुनीं च चित्ते।
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 जयांगनश्रम सत्तम यत्थ गातम्। सत्त्वं विचक्ष्य मृगचेष्टि तमात्मनोन्तः।
सत्त्वं विचक्ष्य मृगचेष्टि तमात्मनोन्तः।
चित्तं नियच्छ हृदि कर्ण धुनीं च चित्ते।
चित्तं नियच्छ हृदि कर्ण धुनीं च चित्ते।
जयांगनाश्रमम् असत्तमयूथ गाथम्।
The activities of the deer.
Atmanah,
Atmanah
of the self.
Of the self.
antah, within. Cittam, consciousness. Niyacha, fixed. Vidhi, in the heart. Karanadhunim, oral reception. Cha, and. Chitte, unto the consciousness. Jahi, diva. Anganashram, household life. Asattama, most abominable. Yathagatham, full of stories of man and woman. Trinihi, just access. Tamsa Sharanam, the shelter of the liberated soul. Virama, become detached. Tameya, gradually. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Translation. My dear king, just try to understand the allegorical position of the deer. Be fully conscious of yourself and give up the pleasure of hearing about promotion to heavenly planets by fruitful activity. Give up household life, which is full of sex, as well as stories about such things, and take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the mercy of the liberated souls. In this way, please give up your attraction for material existence. Purport. In one of his songs, Srila Narottam Das Thakur writes, Karma Tanda Jnana Tanda Kevala Vishera Bhanda Amrita Balira Yeva Khaya Nana Yani Sada Kire Kadarya Bhikshanakare Tara Janma Adha Pate Yaya. Fruitive activities and mental speculation are simply cups of poison. Whoever drinks of them, thinking them to be nectar, must struggle very hard, life after life, in different types of bodies. Such a person eats all kinds of nonsense and becomes condemned by his activities of so-called sense enjoyment. People are generally enamored of the fruitive results of worldly activity and mental speculation. They generally desire to be promoted to heavenly planets, merge into the existence of Brahman, or keep themselves in the midst of family life, enchanted by the pleasures of the tongue and genitals. The great sage Narada clearly instructs King Prachina, King Varghishan, not to remain his entire life in the Grihastha Ashram. Being in the Grihastha Ashram means being under the control of one's wife. One has to give up all of this and put himself into the Ashram of the Paramahamsa, that is, put himself under the control of the spiritual master. The Paramahamsa Ashram is the Ashram of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, under whom the spiritual master has taken shelter. The symptoms of the bona fide spiritual master are stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.3.21. Tasmat Guru Prapadyeta Jignashu Shriya Uttamam Shabde Pareja Nishnatam Brahmani Upashava Shrayam. Any person who is seriously desirous of achieving real happiness must seek out the bona fide spiritual master and take shelter of him by initiation. The qualification of the spiritual master is that he must have realized the consciousness of the conclusion of the scriptures by deliberation and arguments and thus be able to convince others of these conclusions. Such great personalities who have taken complete shelter of the Supreme Godhead, leaving aside all material considerations, are to be understood as bona fide spiritual masters. A Paramahamsa is one who has taken shelter of the Parabrahman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one takes shelter of the Parabrahman, spiritual master, gradually through training and instruction, he will become detached from worldly life and ultimately return home back to Godhead. The particular mention of Anganashramam Asattama Yuttagatam is very interesting. The whole world is in the clutches of Maya, being controlled by women. Not only is one controlled by the woman who is one's wife, but one is also controlled by so many sex literatures. That is the cause of one's being entangled in the material world. One cannot give up this abominable association through one's own effort. But if one takes shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, who is a Paramahamsa, he will gradually be elevated to the platform of spiritual life. The pleasing words of the Vedas that inspire one to elevate oneself to the heavenly planets or merge into the existence of the Supreme are for the less intelligent, who are described in Bhagavad Gita as Mayaya Parakalyana, Apahrita Dhyana, those whose knowledge is taken away by illusory energy. Real knowledge means understanding the miserable condition. condition of material life. One should take shelter of a bona fide liberated soul, the spiritual master, and gradually elevate himself to the spiritual path platform and thus become detached from the material world. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Hamsa Sharan refers to the cottage in which saintly persons live. Generally, a saintly person lives in a remote place, in the forest or in a humble cottage. However, we should note that the times have changed. It may be beneficial for a saintly person's own interest to go to the forest and live in a cottage. But if one becomes a preacher, especially in the Western countries, he has to invite many classes of men who are accustomed to living in comfortable apartments. Therefore, in this age, a saintly person has to make proper arrangements to receive people and attract them to the message of Krishna consciousness. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, perhaps for the first time, introduced motor car and palatial buildings for the residents of saintly persons just to attract the general public in big cities. The main fact is that one has to associate with a saintly person. In this age, people are not going to search out a saint in the forest. The same soul, the saints and sages have to come to the big cities to make arrangements to receive people in general who are accustomed to the modern amenities of material life. Gradually, such persons will learn that palatial buildings or comfortable apartments are not at all necessary. The real necessity is to become free from material bondage in whatever way possible. According to the orders of Srila Rupa Goswami, Anasaktasya Vishayam Yatharam Ubar Yunjataha Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yuktam Vairagya Mucchyate. When one is not attached to anything, but at the same time accepts everything in relation to Krishna, one is rightly situated above possessiveness. Papira Sandhya Sindhu 1.2.255. One should not be attached to material opulence, but material opulence may be accepted in the Krishna consciousness movement to facilitate the propagation of the movement. In other words, material opulence may be accepted as Yukta Vairagya. That is for renunciation. Om Jnanakriyanasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gatamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Mukham Karoti Vacharam Angum Namrayate Girim Yat Kripatam Amade Shri Guru Dinatavarinam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So we are seeing the conversation continuing between Naradmuni and Kripachina Bhargi. We all know that Naradmuni is a Paramahamsa. He is a very compassionate soul. He has come to deliver Kripachina Bhargi from the clutches of illusion and from the steep entrenchment which Kripachina Bhargi had in the fruitive activities of Karma Kanda section of the Vedas. So he's continuing. We already finished one allegory and now Naradmuni has started another allegory about a deer. Because Prabhupada also explains in many purports that sometimes when people are too much involved or attached to material or fruitive activities, it is very hard to get through to them using just common philosophy. And therefore it is very important to use stories or allegories, because that will make the message, the same message, reach through to these people who are completely covered by Maya, completely covered because of the attachment of fruitive activities. So in this particular verse, Naradmuni is actually imploring Kripachina Bhargi that he should give up the pleasures of hearing about promotion to heavenly planets. Because in the beginning of the canto, we see Kripachina Bhargi starts all the sacrifices where he's sacrificing so many animals. Because he thinks it will elevate him, it will take him to the heavenly planets. That was the whole purpose he starts. So Naradmuni is keeping on reiterating this message, reinforcing that please give up we are wanting to go to the heavenly planets. And also he is saying that give up the household life, and that is why he is talking about the allegory of deer. So we see that, you know, household life or this grahastha life, the perils of grahastha life are talked about throughout the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. Again and again, you know, Sukadeva Goswami or different personalities which appear in the Bhagavatam, and Srila Prabhupada also warn about grahastha ashram. So we know, Prabhupada says in many instances that Brahmachari ashram is the fast track to go back to the spiritual world, or the fast track to achieve spiritual realization. However, in Kali Yuga, grahastha ashram is the safe way to achieve spiritual realization. Because Maya is so strong in Kali Yuga, and you know, people's minds are not as strong and determination is not as great as in the previous yugas. From the Brahmachari ashram or the Sannyas ashram, it's very easy for someone to get strayed from the path of renunciation or from the path of Brahmacharya. People who are able to do it is glorious, but you know, Prabhupada says that the safe way is grahastha ashram. So like we take, you know, we are traveling to a place, like we are going to South Australia to Adelaide or something, and we take the freeway. So we do have to take exits. We have to take an exit to fill petrol, or we have to take an exit to take some rest, eat prasadam. So we take exits, but we don't forget the goal. So we know that the goal is to again get back on the highway and proceed towards our destination. But if we take an exit and let's say we are staying overnight and we become very comfortable, there's a nice hotel that we have booked, it has nice facilities, nice swimming pool, tennis court, all these facilities are there for sense gratification. And we think, no, this is only nice, let me just live here only. And we forget the destination. Then it is a dangerous situation. So like, why Prabhupada is saying, yes, grahastha ashram might be a safer way. It's not that, you know, we forget the highway, we forget the goal, and we get involved in the sense gratification which is so easily available in grahastha ashram. So that is what Prabhupada and the Acharyas keep warning us through the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, Prabhupada says that if one does not utilize his grahastha ashram properly, so especially Santarshanda Sadhikari Maharaj, he is very vocal and he completely imbibes Prabhupada's strict mood in these matters. So he keeps saying that grahastha ashram is not a license for sense gratification of sex enjoyment. Sex enjoyment or sex union of a man and woman in the grahastha ashram is only for procreation. It is not for recreation. Again and again, Santarshanda Maharaj keeps reinforcing this point about grahastha ashram. So therefore, if you know brahmastas living in the grahastha ashram, forget that the goal of taking that ashram or shelter of that safe ashram in Kali Yuga is so that the husband and wife help each other. They produce, you know, Krishna have produced children with the aim of delivering a soul at the lotus feet of Krishna and try their best to actually, you know, themselves progress on the path of bhakti and bring their children also on the path of bhakti. As long as they keep Krishna in the center and they remember that the goal is Krishna consciousness, then that ashram is safe. But if they forget the goal of Krishna consciousness and if people just get involved in, you know, enjoying each other's company, the blabbering of little kids, and just get attached and attached and attached with all those things, forgetting that the real goal is actually to go back to Godhead, then it is nothing but the Brahma, it becomes a Brahmavedi ashram. So it's not even called an ashram, it's a Brahmavedi life, where your householders are just living like asses or donkeys, or dogs and cats, just being attached to each other. Even dogs and cats are very protective of their young ones, and very attached, like, sometimes we go in the morning for a walk around Albert Parkway. So we see the black swans over there. And we know these black swans are very attached to each other. The couples stay together for almost throughout their life. They don't go to any other, like, you know, they keep their ashram life throughout their life. But that's not what human life is meant for. Human life is meant for helping each other progress, especially for in the grahastha ashram, the man and woman help each other progress. So again, you know, Narada Muni is warning that don't get attached, and in the purport he is saying that it is very, one cannot give up this abominable association to one's own effort. So he is saying that the association of a woman just for sense enjoyment is quite abominable. And we see Kapila Dev in his teachings to Devahuti in the third canto also once again mentioning this point. He is saying, there is a verse, famous verse in the third canto, Na tathasya bhavet moho, vandas chanya prasangataha, Yoshit Sangha Yatha Pumso, Yatha Tat Sanghi Sangataha. So Kapila Dev is saying over there that the infatuation of bondage which arises from attachment to any other object is not as complete as the bondage which arises from attachment to a woman, but more abominable or more binding than that attachment is the attachment of a man who is attached to a woman. So that is why, you know, seeking out good association, especially in this particular age, is extremely important. We might say, you know, some people might say, oh, I am not very attached to the opposite sex, I know the parents, so I keep away, I know I have to keep a distance. But if that same person is, you know, attached or has association of men who are attached to women in turn, then this man is eventually going to get attached in that association. So like in Kaliyuga it is said, we say the Yuga Dharma is the Hare Krishna mantra, or chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, and we mentioned this in our previous class as well. But Prabhupada says and the Acharya say that actually the Yuga Dharma of Kaliyuga is association of devotees. Because once we have association of devotees, they will remind us to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. They will remind us to keep ourselves protected, and they will keep reminding us of the goal of human form of life. So that's what Kapila Dev is warning over here, said that if you don't have good association and if you are attached to men who are attached to women, that is much more abominable than directly being attached to a woman. So in fact, the fourth canto also, when Prithu Maharaj, when the four Kumaras come to see Prithu Maharaj and he's conducting those yagyas, Ashwamedha yagyas, they actually come, being pleased with Prithu Maharaj, they come to visit Prithu Maharaj in the sacrificial arena. And that time Prithu Maharaj welcomes these Kumaras and he says, he welcomes them with very beautiful verses, but there's a very nice verse he says in the fourth canto, 22nd chapter, 11th verse. He says, Vyalaya Dhima Vaiteshu, Arikta Akhila Sampada, Yat Dhima Siddha Padhiya, Padha Kirka Vivarjitaha. So I remember in the four, when we were studying this fourth canto with Keshav Prabhu, Brahmatam Prabhu and Mataji were also learning this verse with us. We were trying to try different techniques to memorize this verse. So in this verse, Prithu Maharaj is actually telling the four Kumaras by welcoming them nicely. He's saying that what is the use of a house or a householder's, you know, palatial house, which is full of opulences, there is so much material facilities available over there. However, if that householder is not welcoming devotees in his house, and there is no water for offering to the people, to the saintly personalities who come, or for washing their feet, if that householder is not opening his doors to welcome good association in his house, then that house is just like a tree which is full of venomous serpents. And you know, Prabhupada says, in many of his purports, Prabhupada says that in the olden days, even when Prabhupada was there on this planet, and Prabhupada would sometimes go for his morning walk, especially in India, when he would walk through some places and, you know, whichever temple he was residing, he would see that if he's walking through some fields or something like that, the farmers would come and they would welcome Prabhupada. They would be very happy that a saintly person has, you know, put their lotus feet on their farms or on their fields, and they would feel that it is blessing their field. So at least that realization was there till Prabhupada was on this planet. And Prabhupada used to tell his disciples, he was saying, see how the culture is still somewhat there in India, where these farmers and these simple villagers realize the importance of welcoming sadhus and the importance of taking blessings of these sages. So these farmers used to sometimes come and offer their produce to Srila Prabhupada, because they used to see he's a saint, he's a sadhu, it's good to offer something which has been produced in a farm so that we get blessings of the saintly person. And then Prabhupada used to compare that to Western countries, which is now prevalent in India as well. There would be huge, you know, people would have big estates, but there would be huge gates which are locking those estates, and it would be written outside in the door, beware of dogs. So what is that? Or trespassers will be prosecuted. It's a common sign we see of so many, like, you know, houses and their rooms and all. What does that mean? That means that no one is welcome. You are not welcome unless you are an invited guest and we know you are coming or something like that. So obviously if a saintly person would go unannounced in that house, he is not going to be welcome. In fact, it says trespassers will be prosecuted. So most likely those people will call the police and hand them over. So this is how, you know, this is what Prithu Maharaj is warning, that what's the use of all these big houses if, you know, devotees or saintly personalities are not welcome in this house? So this whole purport is talking about the perils of Brahmastashram if not utilized properly to welcome devotees, to have satsang in the house, use opportunities to give prasadam, because the main duty of Brahmastashram is charity. So part of charity is also feeding prasadam to devotees. So if a Brahmastha is not doing all this, then his house is considered to be like a tree which is full of venomous serpents. He might have beautiful decorations in the house, but they are not of no use to anybody. And in fact, Prahlad Maharaj also, when he is talking to Hiranyakashipu, we just celebrated Narasimhadev's appearance yesterday. So Prahlad Maharaj, when he goes to school and Hiranyakashipu, you know, puts him in his lap very affectionately. I was reading that section and it is described that tears are flowing from Hiranyakashipu's eyes out of affection for his son. He was smelling his hair, kissing his son's forehead, and he takes Prahlad Maharaj on his lap and he asks him, what did you learn in school today? And that time Prahlad Maharaj says some beautiful verses. So one of the verses he says to Hiranyakashipu, because he wanted to preach to his father out of deep compassion for him. He says that sadhu manye asurya varya dehina sada samudvigna dhiyam asatraha hitvatmapatam vihamandakupam vanam gatoya dharimashayeta. So that's a famous verse which Prahlad Maharaj talks to Hiranyakashipu. And he tells him, he says that if a person is, you know, say very similar to what Narad Muni is telling to King Prachinabhari, he is saying that if a person is completely staying in their, you know, Grahastashram, in their householder life, it is a very abominable state of life. This person is very attached to their householder life. So unless this person takes association of sadhus, and unless this person actually gives up, he's saying Brahmananda Kupa, it is like a deep well. If one is just keeping association of his wife, children, being attached to them without keeping Krishna in the center, it's Brahmananda Kupa. That house is like a deep well where there is no way to come out of that deep well. And he's saying Vanakatoya Harim Ashrayeta. So he's saying the best thing to do for you, O my father. He's saying Asurya Vare Dehina, O best of the Asuras, he's calling his father. That the best thing to do is vanam, go to the one. And Prabhupada writes in the purport that the best thing for a person to do is to actually, you know, after you are not to stay in Brahmastashram for their whole life, but to accept Vanaprastha life or sannyas if possible and go to Vrindavan. That is the one Prabhupada talks about. And over there, Harim Ashrayeta, take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So obviously, you know, after that, the reaction of Hiranyakashipu, he actually pushes Prahlad Maharaj down from his lap. And he gets very angry with Shanda and Narada, and then, you know, he eventually Narasimhadev appears. But Prahlad Maharaj is giving these beautiful teachings even to Hiranyakashipu. Fearlessly he is talking about the perils once again of Prahavedi life, of being too attached to householder life, and of also not utilizing the opportunity to then retire from householder life one day, go to the one, go to Vrindavan, you know, start Vanaprastha life or take sannyas. That is what even Prahlad Maharaj is warning through these verses. So we see Srimad Bhagavatam keeps talking about this, and Narad Muni is once again reinforcing to Prachinabhari that now open your eyes. Through the allegory of the deer, he is teaching him to open his eyes, to cut down his attachment to all these fruitful activities, to his householder life, and then to take ashraya of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by taking shelter of this of a qualified spiritual master. So speaking of spiritual masters, today there is actually the appearance day of many different personalities, and it's also the appearance day of Radha Ramanji. So we will first talk about the appearance day of Madhavendra Puri. He's one of the param gurus, he's one of the spiritual masters. He's the one from whose disciple Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted initiation. So like Narada Muni is telling over here that take shelter of a qualified spiritual master, Madhavendra Puri was one such spiritual master who appeared in our lineage to actually deliver many great personalities like Advaita Acharya, Nityananda Prabhu, and also then Ishwar Puri, from whom eventually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took initiation. So we'll spend a little bit of time talking about Madhavendra Puri. It's also the appearance day of Srinivas Acharya, so we'll talk about him, and also the appearance day of Radha Ramanandi. So we'll spend a little bit of time talking about these personalities. So after the sannyas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had just accepted sannyas in Khatwa, And after the sannyas, obviously we know the pastor, he tries to go to Vrindavan, to settle in Vrindavan. But somehow, you know, he's directed back to Shantipur. Nityananda tricks him through some, using some powerful voice. And he's directed back to Shantipur. And in Shantipur, he comes to the house of Advaita Acharya. And there his mother is waiting for him. She cooks a big feast for him. And then in consultation with all the devotees, it is decided that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will not go to Vrindavan. And he will not make Vrindavan his residence. On the insistence of devotees, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to agree. So then they request him, and even Satchimata requests, that can you please make your residence in Jagannathpuri, in Neelachalam, because that is not so far from Nadia, from West Bengal, and I will keep any news about you. And the devotee said, we can come and visit you, at least once in a year we can come and visit you, so please don't go away to Vrindavan. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually accepts, he accedes to the request of the devotees. So then taking four associates with him, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu starts proceeding from Shantipur towards Jagannathpuri. And along with these four associates, he stops at various places, at various holy grounds, to take darshan of the deities in those holy grounds. And eventually, he comes to a place called Nemuna, which is near a village called Balasur. So he knows that in Nemuna Dham, there is a beautiful deity called Gopinath, and that deity's name has become Shri Chul Gopinath. So he goes to take darshan over there along with his associates. And as soon as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offers obeisances, there is, you know, the helmet of flowers which was there on the deity, Gopinath deity, that comes and falls on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's head. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu becomes very ecstatic on receiving this Mahaprasadam of the deities. And he does beautiful kirtan, there is ecstatic chanting, dancing, some kirtan that happens in that temple's courtyard. And lots of villagers from Nemuna come and they participate. And they are all enchanted by the beautiful form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and how he was singing and dancing so ecstatically. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was aware this temple was famous for its keel, and that keel was called as Samrita Keli. So every night before the deities were put to rest, they were offered 12 earthen pots of keel, which was specially prepared for these deities, and then they would be put to rest. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew that this bhoga was going to be offered. And he was very eager to partake of that Mahaprasadam. So while waiting for that Mahaprasadam, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sits down and tells those four associates with whom he has started traveling. He tells them the pastime of Madhavendra Puri, what he heard from his guru, Ishwara Puri. So he starts telling them, he says that this deity is famous at Sri Chor Gopinath because of my Param Guru Sri Madhavendra Puri. And then he starts the pastime by narrating that how Madhavendra Puri once went to Vrindavan. He wanted to visit the holy place of Vrindavan. So he had been fasting and he was just traveling. He didn't care too much about looking after his own needs. And he arrives in the holy dham of Vrindavan. And first he takes darshan of Govardhan Hill. And as soon as he sees Govardhan Hill, Madhavendra Puri goes into ecstasy. He starts, like, tears start rolling out of his eyes, and he's so ecstatic because he knows Govardhan Hill is not different from Lord Shri Krishna. Now it is described by Acharyas that although Madhavendra Puri took initiation in the Madhava Sampradaya, his guru's name was Lakshmi Tirtha. So he takes initiation from Lakshmi Tirtha, and although the conjugal pastimes of Radha and Krishna are not something which Madhava Sampradaya is famous for, but Madhavendra Puri was that first sect of that sampradaya, that first branch of that sampradaya who started exhibiting these symptoms. So he was the first one who started telling people about the conjugal affairs of Radha and Krishna and how these conjugal pastimes can manifest in one's heart. And he was the one, especially towards the end of his life, who also propagated the mood of separation. The separation from Krishna mantras or the mood of separation between Radha and Krishna. So he was the one who initiated this particular mood in the sampradaya. And then we see how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ishwara Puri further propagated that mood, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started the sect called Brahma Madhava Gaudiya Sampradaya. So it was like a branch that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started just to show the highest form of bhakti, which is separation from Vipralambha Baba. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just built on whatever Madhavendra Puri had started. But Madhavendra Puri was the first one in that Madhava Sampradaya who started exhibiting these symptoms of separation, conjugal pastimes of Radha and Krishna and all that. So as soon as he sees over them, then he starts feeling that ecstasy, he starts remembering all the leelas of Krishna. And then in that ecstasy, he circumambulates the hill and then he sits down to take rest on the banks of Govinda Kund. So Govinda Kund is very famous. This is a kund when Indra actually does the whole apradh of upsetting Krishna, of sending torrential rains, and then Krishna does the Govardhan, lifting of the Govardhan pastime. So that whole pastime, after that whole pastime, when Indra repents and comes to seek forgiveness from Krishna, that is when this Govinda Kund is born. He does it at the banks of that kund. So by the way, Madhavacharya sits down to take rest on the banks of Govinda Kund, and while sitting down over there and thinking of Krishna, he dozes off. He falls asleep. But then he is woken up by a little cowherd boy who comes over there. And this cowherd boy tells him that why are you sitting over here without doing any madhukari? Some of the village ladies observe that you have not done any madhukari, you have not eaten anything. So they have sent me with this pot of milk for you. So in our village, no one goes hungry. And because you did not come out for madhukari, I have come to give this pot of milk to you. So saying that, he gives a pot of milk to Madhavacharya. Madhavacharya is very enchanted by the beauty of this little cowherd boy. He feels very attracted in his heart and he accepts, very gratefully accepts this pot of milk. And then the boy says that you bring this milk and I will come later on to take the empty pot back from you because I have been taken back to my Maya, to my mother. So Madhavacharya brings that milk and then while waiting for the little boy to return, he dozes off, he starts falling asleep because he was very tired from his journey. And when he falls asleep, he sees that same cowherd boy again come in his dream. And he's pulling him and he's telling him that, oh Madhavacharya, please wake up and see in the bushes on the banks of Govind Kund. If you please come here and see, I have been lying there for many, many years. People have forgotten about me and for decades I've been lying there. Can you please take me out? Because I've been tolerating rain, heat, sunshine, and I'm very tired, thirsty and hungry. So can you please take me out? Save me from these bushes. Call the Brahmins from the village. Ask them to take me out and then please establish me. Give me bath, he says. In fact, in the dream, he's instructing Madhavacharya that bring 900 pots of cooling water from the Govind Kund and establish me on top of Govardhan Hill and give me bath with those 900 pots of cooling water and then worship me and offer me bhoga. I have been hungry for many, many years. So then Madhavacharya's dream breaks and then he realizes that the little boy who had given him that pot of milk was none other than Lord Shri Krishna. You know, Krishna is always Bhakta Vatsala. He wants to look after his devotees, especially his pure devotees who don't care about their own bodily necessities. So it was Krishna only who had come to give him the pot of milk. And Madhavacharya laments for some time that I did not recognize my Lord, even though he came to, you know, the render service to me, I could not recognize him. I'm so fallen. My vision is so covered that I could not recognize my Lord. But then he remembered the instructions. So he knew he had a duty at hand. He had to execute the Lord's instructions. So then he quickly goes to the village and he gathers all the villagers. And he tells them what happened in this dream and how they have to bring out Gopal Devi from the bushes. So all the villagers were very happy. They were feeling very happy that, oh, there is a deity in our village. Let's go and excavate him. So everybody brings spades and baby cutters because all the bushes have become very thick over there. So they dig out, they cut down all the bushes and they dig out and ultimately they see the beautiful form of Gopal emerge from there. So this is the same form which is worshipped as Srinathji Nathdwara in the present day. If we go to Nathdwara, we will see this beautiful deity which was excavated by none other than Madhavacharya. So after the deity is excavated and pulled out, as per the instructions of Gopal, Madhavacharya installs the deity on a stone slab, a clean stone slab on top of Govardhan Hill. And then he informs the villagers to bring 900 pots of cooling water from Govind Kund. And not only that, he gathers all the Brahmins from the village and he tells them what all articles of worship have to be gathered. Scented oils, you know, paraphernalia for doing aarti, also panchakamya, panchamrit. He tells them to gather all these things. And then the bathing ceremony starts of Sri Gopalji for the first time after being underground for many years. So they gave him a bath with 900 pots of water They also do part with Pancha Gavya, and they offer Pancha Amrit to the Lord, since scented oils, his body's massage with scented oils. And this lady was black, very beautiful and black in color, in the pose of lifting the Govardhan Hill. So all this massage is done, and then he tells all the villagers that we have to offer bhoga to the deities. He has been hungry for such a long time. So the whole village cooks so much prasadam. And you know, the acharyas explained the mood of these villagers, that they were such simple people. They were not living a very opulent life. They were not rich landlords or anything like that. Very simple cowherd people who didn't have much income at their disposal. But when they come to know that they can serve Gopal, prasadam, like bhoga, as Madhavacharya instructed, they don't care about what will be left behind for their own families in their houses. They cook whatever they have. So it's described that this was the first annakoot ceremony that happens for Gopal, where you know, mountains and mountains of rice are cooked by the Brahma villagers, so many big pots of dals, different types of sabjis, many, many types of sweets, cakes, all these things are cooked by the villagers. And then Madhavacharya does offering to the deity, and then there is aarti, the beautiful aarti ceremony happens for the first time for Gopalji. And then he puts the deity to sleep. They make a nice new pot for the deity, they put him to rest, and then Madhavacharya distributes all that prasadam, Gopalji's prasadam, to all the villagers. And he himself just takes a little milk at night, and he also takes rest. So in this way, Madhavacharya installs the worship of Sri Gopalji. And when the other villagers also come to know that this village got the opportunity to do this whole annakoot ceremony of offering so much bhoga, every village wanted to then start offering that service to Gopalji. So one by one, all the villagers were coming and requesting Madhavacharya that, can you please allow us to serve today? Can you please allow us to offer this annakoot today? So every day there was one village who was taking the opportunity. Like, you know, when we have sannyasis visit, there's a hostel that is made and everybody gets a chance every day. Like that, the villagers, there was almost like a hostel. Every day, one village got the opportunity to cook bhoga for the deity. And again, none of the villagers were holding back. They would create cook mountains and mountains of foodstuffs for the pleasure of Gopalji. So like this, for almost 2 years, Madhavacharya kept serving Gopalji deity nicely. And there were Brahmins whom he trained in the worship of Gopalji deity. They were doing the highest worship, the highest level of deity worship that they could, they were doing for Gopalji. And one rich merchant one day came and said that, I will sponsor building of a beautiful temple. So then Madhavacharya also oversaw that whole construction of a beautiful temple for Gopalji. And there were Brahmins who were regularly worshipping him. So one day Gopalji again came in the dream of Madhavacharya. And he told Madhavacharya that, I have been lying in the sun. You know, I have been lying for such a long time in the heat. So my body is still hot. I know you've been worshipping me for 2 years and you have been offering me cool water. But there is still some heat in my body. So I would really like to be smeared with Malaya Chandan. And that Chandan is available in Jagannath Puri. So can you please go to here in Jagannath Puri and bring that Malaya Chandan for me? And I think he orders and instructs him to bring some 82 kilos of Malaya Chandan or something like that. So he says, bring that and then to rub it like how we rub Chandan, to extract the Chandan extract. And also add camphor to it and then smear my whole body with this cooling paste so that the heat goes down. Now Madhavacharya was like a mendicant. He did not have one paisa. Because Chandan, even in those days, now also Chandan is expensive, those days sandalwood was very expensive. So he did not have even a single rupee in his account. How does he go and buy this chandan? But just taking the instructions of the Lord on his head, he set out on foot to Jagannath Puri. He thought, okay, the Lord will be carrying this. I don't have to worry. The Lord has given instructions. He will also empower me to fulfill his instructions. So just keeping that in his heart, Madhavacharya started walking towards Jagannath Puri. And on the way while he was walking towards Jagannath Puri, he comes to the same temple where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is narrating this pastime, to the temple of Premuna, to the temple of Gopinath. So he takes darshan of the beautiful lady of Gopinath, and then he had also heard, like, he wanted to find out from the priest because he saw that such nice worship was being done for Gopinath. So he asked the priest that, what all, how all do you do worship, what all bhoga do you offer? Because Madhavacharya was always in that mood. Then how should I better my worship of Gopalji, whom he had installed in Govardhan? So every time he would visit, he would try to learn good practices from other temples, only so that he could improve his level of worship for Gopalji. So he was asking this priest of Gopinath that how do you, what do you do, what of Bhoga do you offer, what all services do you do? And this priest described to him that every night, one of the specialities of our temple is that every night we offer 12 earthen pots of ghee, specially cooked sweet rice. And this sweet rice is so famous all over India that it is called as Amrita Keli. Amrita Keli means it's nectar, it's almost like nectar. So Madhavacharya, and then he saw that the priest was taking those 12 pots of rice to offer, sweet rice to offer to the deity. So Madhavacharya was sitting outside and he was thinking that, oh, only if I could, I wish I could taste this sweet rice so that then I can understand how it is cooked and I can then go and get it done for my Gopalji deity in Vrindavan. So he started thinking like that, but as soon as the thought came to his mind, he started again regretting. He's saying, oh my God, I'm such a fallen person. The deity is still being offered the bhoga and I'm actually thinking that how I can taste even before the deity has eaten. So, you know, that way he starts chastising himself, very strict with himself, and he says that I shouldn't have thought like that before the deity had even partaken of the bhoga. So, lamenting like that, Madhavacharya just pays obeisances and leaves the temple. And he goes and sits in the marketplace in a remote place in Remuna. And he's still lamenting, I shouldn't have thought like that, I've done seva akrad, I was trying to enjoy the bhoga before even the deity had eaten. So seeing like that, he falls asleep. Now over here, you know, Gopinath wanted to reciprocate with his pure devotee. So Gopinath actually, after the 12 pots of rice were offered, the pujari takes the prasadam out. And he does not realize that Gopinath has actually kept one pot back. So the pujari actually puts the deity to sleep. He does whatever normally evening duties he has to do and puts the deity to sleep. And he himself also goes to sleep. But then in his dream, Gopinath comes. Gopinath is waking the pujari up. He's shaking and telling, hey, wake up, wake up. Do you know, can you please go back on the altar and check behind the curtain? I have saved one pot of sweet rice for my devotee Madhavacharya. So go and get that pot. And go and look for Madhavacharya and give him that prasad. Because he wanted to actually taste that prasad and I want to fulfill that desire of his. So saying this, the Buddha wakes up from his dream. And he's amazed that the Lord, he didn't even realize that he was only carrying 11 pots out instead of 12 pots. And he's amazed that the Lord has done something like this just to fulfill the desire of his devotee. So the Buddha goes quickly, takes a shower and then goes inside the altar, pays obeisances and goes inside. And to his amazement, he actually finds a pot of rice behind the curtain, behind the backdrop, which like we have the backdrop. So then the pujari goes and look for this devotee, Madhavacharya. And everywhere he's going around and he's asking, who is Madhavacharya? Who is Madhavacharya? Like that he's going around and asking in the whole village. And then when he reaches this marketplace where Madhavacharya is resting, Madhavacharya tells, very humbly comes forward and says, I am Madhavacharya, why are you looking for me? So then the pujari makes him sit down. He first pays obeisances because he realizes this is an exalted devotee. For him the Lord has, you know, actually stolen a pot of sweet rice. So then he tells Madhavacharya that the Lord has personally stolen this pot of sweet rice. He had kept it hidden behind the curtain. And he actually came and told me that go and give the sweet rice to Madhavacharya. I want to fulfill his desire. So Madhavacharya is also stunned. He is also in ecstasy, realizing that my Lord did this pastime for me. So very gratefully he accepts that pot of sweet rice. And then he eats the sweet rice. And obviously, you know, once you eat something which the Lord had personally touched that in this pot. So he is in ecstasy, he is unconscious for some time. And then he washes that pot after eating the sweet rice. And it is described that he breaks that pot into pieces and ties it up in a cloth. And then every day he would eat a small piece of that pot as well. Because the Lord's hand had touched it. And every time he would eat a small piece of that earthen pot, he would again and again go into ecstasy. So he eats that pot, but as soon as he eats the sweet rice in the night, then he realizes that now this, you know, this pujari is going to go and tell everybody that this pastime has happened. the Lord personally souls seed rice for me. So everybody will come to honor me, take, you know, look at me or come and meet me or something like that. And everyone will start offering respect to me that I'm thinking I'm a great devotee for whom the Lord did this pastime. So Madhavacharya was so much against this worldly prestige. So Madhavendra Puri was, he was so against all this worldly prestige and all that. So he realized that he should just go away from there before people just flock to take his darshan, or people flock to give him offer and all that honor and respect, which he felt he did not deserve. So Madhavendra Puri then started walking. He knew he had still a task to complete. So he started walking towards Jagannath Puri. But, you know, even though there was no internet and there was no Instagram, emails, all that in those days, Facebook, the fame of Madhavendra Puri had already started spreading. So by the time he reaches Jagannath Puri, everybody knew that a great personality called Madhavendra Puri is going to arrive to collect Chandan, and this is the first time that happened in the Gopinath temple. Lord Gopinath himself stole this key just to reciprocate with the desire of Madhavendra Puri. So he reaches Jagannath Puri, all the people flock to give him that honor, and they also say that we've already made arrangements to give you this chandan. So they had, you know, all the wealthy people come together, they arrange for the chandan, they also arrange for oxen cart for Madhavendra Puri to carry this chandan. And during those days, India had like different provinces. So to travel from one province to the other, you had to pay, you know, pay tolls at the check nakas or whatever. Plus there would be dacoits because you would have to travel through some unknown jungles and all that. So they arranged for Madhavendra Puri to carry all this in an oxen cart, and they also arranged for 2-3 people to accompany Madhavendra Puri just for his protection and also to protect the chandan for the Lord. So Madhavendra Puri, along with this small entourage, he starts walking through the forest. And by the Lord's divine desire, it was the Lord's order that he was carrying, so there was no problem at all. He could pass through all those Cheknakas. The people of Jagannath Puri had given him the relevant papers. So he could pass through all the Cheknakas, and he again, on the way to Vrindavan, he again visited this Remunadhan. And by this time, the devotees of Remunadhan had started calling their deity as Shri Chol Gopinath. So even if we go today, the deity is famous as Shri Chol Gopinath, the Gopinath who stole key for his deity, for his devotee. So when Madhavendra Puri once again arrives at this temple, he desires to take rest there, he pays obeisances, and again the priest gives him one more pot of sweet rice to partake as Mahaprasadam. And after accepting that prasadam, when Madhavendra Puri is taking rest, Gopinath Devi once again, Gopalji Devi comes in this dream this time, from Vrindavan, his own Gopalji Devi. And he says that, that is so nice that you have completed my instruction of gathering all the sandalwood so that my body can be cooled down. But hey, Madhavendra Puri, just realize that myself, that means Gopalji and this Gopinath Devi in Remuna, are non-different. So instead of bringing the chandan all the way to Vrindavan, to Govardhan, you please smear this chandan, mix it with camphor and smear it on Gopinath's body. And as soon as this body cools down, my body will also cool down because we are non-different. So stay there till all this chandan is utilized and then you can come back to Vrindavan. So in this way, Madhavendra Puri wakes up and he realizes that this is my Lord's order. So he actually stays back over there and he utilizes that chandan which he had collected from Jagannath Puri. Every day those 2-3 people who had accompanied him, he took their help. Every day they would smear, like make sandalwood paste, they would smear, mix it with camphor and they would smear the deity of Gopinath. So this is how the original Chandan Yatra also started. It was Madhavendra Puri who was inaugurator of the Chandan Yatra festival, which we know is going on right now in India. Like the hot months have started in India. So we are, you know, getting online version of so many different beautiful deities like Radha, Madhavan, Mayapur Tej, you know, they are such beautiful chandan. From many, many temples, we are getting darshan. So this original Chandan Yatra festival was actually started by Madhavendra Puri. So this was some of the glorious pastimes of Madhavendra Puri, how the deity became famous as Shri Chol Gopinath and how he collected this chandan and started inaugurating the festival of Chandan Yatra. So, speaking of another great Acharya who has appeared today, his name is Srinivas Acharya. So, Srinivas Acharya was one of the associates, like he had appeared in the Gaudiya Madhava Sampradaya, and he was one of the dear associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Obviously, he didn't get darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he was a dear associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, he was born, Srinivas Acharya was born in 1550 on the full moon day. Of Orisha. He was born in the village of Chakmundi in Nadia. His father was known as Gangadhar Bhattacharya and his mother was known as Lakshmi Priya. So in the Bhakti Ratnamara scripture, it is mentioned that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas in Katwa, this Gangadhar Bhattacharya, who was the father of Srinivas Acharya, was also a great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when he heard that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taken sannyas in Khalpa, and when he heard of the beautiful locks of hair of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are going to be now shaved off completely, he was very grief stricken, and he was thinking that sannyas has to be taken by ordinary humans like us, who are very attached to material life, who are very attached to sense gratification. But my Lord, he is above all this. What was the use of him taking sannyas? Why is he doing this? And like that, in grief, he kept crying, Ha Chaitanya, Ha Chaitanya, because he came to know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has been given the name Sri Krishna Chaitanya. So he kept crying out in grief, Ha Chaitanya, Ha Chaitanya, like that he kept crying out. And he could not come out of the grief at all. And all the devotees in this village, Chakrandi, when they saw that he was not able to come out of the grief, and the way, you know, he was imbibing that mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and crying in separation by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, everybody started calling him Chaitanya Das, and that name stuck with him throughout his life. So after some time, Chaitanya Das got this desire, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had gone to Jagannath Puri already, after taking sannyas, Chaitanya Das got this strong desire one day that he should have a son who should become a great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So as soon as that desire manifested in his heart, he went and spoke to his wife Lakshmi Priya about his desire. He said that we should have a son and we will make him a great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Lakshmi Priya, she was also very devoted, like a devout person, very devoted to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So she said that before we take any step, let us go and take permission from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So both of them actually traveled all the way to Jagannath Puri. And when they arrived at Jagannath Puri, they paid obeisances to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, obviously, is the Supreme Lord. So he welcomed them very nicely and he told them, go and take obeisance, go and take darshan of Lord Jagannath and then come and meet me. So after that, both of them, Gangadhar Bhattacharya, like whose name was taken with us, and his wife Lakshmi Priya, they go to Lord Jagannath's temple, they take darshan, and even over there, they tell him the desire, tell Lord Jagannath his desire, that, oh, we want to have a son who will become a great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So praying this in this same Jagannath, they come back to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu blesses them, because he is omniscient. Whatever prayer has been offered to Jagannath, obviously has been offered to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he came to know what was the desire of this couple. So he blesses them and he tells them that very soon your desire will be fulfilled. You can go now back to Nadia, to Chakrandi, where they were from. And the devotees who were present in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were very eager to know that what is this desire which you have given blessings to be fulfilled, my Lord? Please tell us about what desire to be fulfilled of this couple. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells, especially his servant Govinda was sitting over there, and he says that very soon a son will be born, a jewel of a son will be born to this couple, Chaitanya Das and his wife Lakshmi Priya. And that son will be known as Srinivas. And this Srinivas, he is going to be famous all over the world. Because just looking at him, people will become enthusiastic to do bhakti. And please understand that he will be a manifestation of my love. So that is the blessing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving. He is saying that he will be a manifestation or an incarnation of my own ecstasy. So through Rupa Goswami and the other Goswami, Sanatana Goswami and others, I will actually manifest scriptures. However, through Srinivas Acharya, I will distribute these scriptures all over India. So he is going to be such a crest jewel of Vaishnava, who is going to appear soon to this couple. So then, you know, with these blessings, very soon the couple is blessed with a beautiful son, whom they named Srinivas. And describing his early days, his father does all the thread ceremony and, you know, his Annaprashna ceremony, all that is done. And then it is described that father and mother both started imparting since his early days bhakti to this child. So the father, Chaitanya Das, will sit for hours and narrate the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to him. And it's written in the Bhakti Ratnakar that both the father and son would go into ecstasy listening to all these pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the mother's role was that she taught this little child different forms of Nama Sankirtan. So imagine the upbringing that this child was getting in this beautiful devoted family. So the child was coming up like that, and then he learned, he was put into obviously a school. So he learned grammar, literature, poetry, all that he learned from his guru called as Dhananjay Vidya Vachasavi. And he became a scholar. Very soon he became a scholar and he had mastered grammar, literature, Vedas, all these things. So very soon, while he was still young, his father left the world while he was still a young boy. So obviously he was grief-stricken. And he and his mother both were consoled by so many devotees who were present in Chakhandi at that time. And based on the devotees' instructions, the mother took the child and went to her maternal, like to her father's house. So Srinivas Acharya went to his maternal grandfather's house, which was in Jajigram. And the Jajigram people were very happy to receive this little boy because they could see that he is going to be a jewel Vaishnava. They could see all the lakshana of a very pure devotee in him. So soon, you know, he started growing up in Jajigram and he used to associate very closely with different devotees. So once he went to meet Narhari Sarkar, who was living very close to Jajigram, and to take his association, and Narhari Sarkar told him that very soon Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to wind up his pastimes. So let us quickly go to Jagannath Puri, take darshan of him before he winds up his pastimes, otherwise you will never see him in this life. So he agreed. He said, okay, I will go. So he took permission from his mother and he actually started traveling to Puri along with all the devotees who would go. Every four months the devotees would go from Nadia to Puri to stay with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So with that entourage, he also started traveling. And on the way, before even they had reached Jagannath Puri, this pilgrim party got the news that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had already left this world. He had wound up his earthly pastimes. And then this young boy, Srinivas Acharya was still a young boy, when he heard this, he just fainted. Because he was so eager to get darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which he couldn't get. So he just fainted, and when he came out of his unconsciousness, he decided that he should commit suicide. So while he was contemplating this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually came in his dream. And he told him to proceed to Puri. I have already instructed all my devotees over there to give you special mercy. They will all give you lot of love, lot of affection, and they will actually give you lot of association. So please go to Jagannath Puri. Don't give up this idea of committing suicide. So his heart somewhat pacified. Srinivas Acharya then proceeded to Puri. And then he met all the devotees who were there. He met all of them, associated with all of them. Everybody blessed him because he was such a young boy. Everybody blessed him that may he become, you know, manifest the love of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then specially he was given instructions in his dream to go and associate with Gadadhar Pandit. So Srinivas Acharya goes to Gadadhar Pandit and he tells him that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has asked me to learn Bhagavatam from you. So then Gadadhar Pandit and Srinivas Acharya, they would sit together in the Toda Kokima temple. And for hours and hours, Gadadhar Pandit would narrate Srimad Bhagavatam to Srinivas Acharya. So Srinivas Acharya got this, you know, benefit of, or the blessing of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from none other than Gadadhar Pandit. So after that, Gadadhar Pandit gave him the instruction that now you should return to Gauradesh. And while he was coming back, on his way back from Jagannath Puri to Gauradesh, Srinivas Acharya got the news that even Advaita Acharya and Nityananda who have left this world. So very slowly, because the Lord left, so all his associates were also winding up his pastimes. And he was actually quite eager to take their association, but he realized that he won't get their association in this lifetime. So again, he was crestfallen and he was thinking, maybe I should just end my life. But again, Advaita Acharya and Nityananda both appeared in his dream. And they said, no, there are lots of things you have to fulfill, so don't even contemplate giving up your life. So then he went to Navadvip and he was seeing too much separation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So while he was feeling the separation, he went goes and meets different people who had associated with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just to hear from them. So he started visiting all these different places in Navadvip town. And while on his pilgrimage, he met Vamsivadhan Thakur. And Vamsivadhan Thakur, seeing the love, the ecstasy which he was, and the separation that Srinivas Acharya was feeling from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he actually took him personally to take darshan of Vishnu Priya Mata. So Vishnu Priya Mata was the wife of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And just so that his heart gets pacified in how to live a life of separation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that is what Vamsivadhan Thakur wanted to show to Srinivas Acharya. So he takes him there, and Srinivas Acharya is struck with wonder, seeing the devotion and the faith of his wife, Vishnu Priya. Because we know Vishnu Priya Maharaj would every day chant the Hare Krishna mantra incessantly. And for every Mahamantra that she would chant, she would keep one grain of rice aside. And then at night, whatever grains of rice she had collected by chanting throughout the day, she would cook only that much and eat just that much prasad. So that was the daily routine. And when Srinivas Acharya sees all this, he feels very inspired by just looking at that example. Sachi Mata also comes in the dream of Srinivas Acharya, and she also blesses him. So all these great personalities bless him. And then he also gets the blessings that you should now go to Vrindavan and go and associate with the Goswamis over there. So taking permission from his mother, then Srinivas Acharya starts the journey to Vrindavan. So he arrives in Vrindavan, but by that time, because the Lord had already found out his pastimes, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami and Raghunath Bhatta Goswami had also left. Three Goswamis were left, had already left for the spiritual world, but the other three Goswamis were still there. So Raghunath Das Goswami, Jiva Goswami and Gopal Bhatta Goswami. These three were still there in Vrindavan. So Srinivas Acharya starts actually associating with these three Goswamis. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had given instructions in a dream that you should take initiation from Gopal Bhatta Goswami and you should take instructions from Jiva Goswami, like learn the scriptures, because Jiva Goswami was the most erudite scholar who was living at that time. So then following that dream, he actually requests Gopal Bhatta Goswami for initiation. And very lovingly, Gopal Bhatta Goswami gives an initiation. And all the Goswamis are so affectionate, looking at the love, the pure devotee that Srinivas Acharya was. So Jiva Goswami, out of his affection and his respect for Srinivas Acharya, he actually asked him to take care of his deity, Radha Damodar. So Srinivas Acharya was entrusted with that responsibility while he lived there. Also, once Jiva Goswami heard, like Srinivas Acharya had gone to the palace of Radhakul to associate with Vishwanath Chakravarti, to associate with Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who wrote the Chaitanya Charitamrita on the banks of Radhakul. So while he was there, he was reciting a verse from Ujjwala Neelamani. And when Jiva Goswami heard his explanation of that verse, he realized that not only was Srinivas Acharya a great devotee, he was also an erudite scholar. And from that day onwards, he was given the title of Acharya. So till that time his name was Srinivas, but then he was given the title Acharya by Jiva Goswami personally. And also during that time when Srinivas Acharya was in Vrindavan, there were two other famous personalities who were there in Vrindavan. One was Narottam Das Thakur and the other was Shyamanand Prabhu. So they three became the next level after the six Goswamis. These three became the next personalities to carry on the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and to, you know, they become the messiahs who were spreading Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So they three, all the Goswamis entrusted them with carrying all the scriptures from Vrindavan to Nadia so that in Nadia also preaching could happen. So they packed everything in a beautiful chest and they started carrying all the scriptures on an oxen cart. And while going to Nadia, on the way, they passed through a Hindu kingdom of Bana Vishnupur, it was called, where there was a king called Veer Hangi. And that king was actually a Bunda, a dacoit himself. Because he was the head of all the highway dacoits. So anybody who would be passing through the highway and they would be carrying any chests or something like that, he would ask his dacoits to steal all that. And the same thing happened with these three also. The king actually heard and he actually confirmed from his astrologer that does that chest contain something valuable? And the astrologer did some calculations and he said, yes, it has the most valuable thing inside. So the king thought that, you know, lots of gold and jewels are coming. So he actually, the instructions I gave him, and they steal that whole chest while the Srinivas Acharya, Narottamdas Thakur and Shyamananda were sleeping. And when they wake up, they realize that the chest is gone, and obviously they are in panic because all the literatures of the Goswamis were there in that chest, which they were carrying safely to Navadvipa. So then Srinivas Acharya tells Shyamananda and Narottamdas Thakur that you all proceed and I will look for those scriptures. So then with the aid of a Brahmin, he meets a Brahmin who he tells that like, these are scriptures that got stolen. And from with the aid of the Brahmin, he realizes that it's none other than the king of this kingdom who has stolen like our chest. So then, you know, he realizes that this king is fond of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, although he was a devotee who arranged regular hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam. So then he also goes there, and like telling the pastime is short because he don't have much time. He also recites some verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. There was one family who was a regular reciter, and the last Leela pastime was going on. So Srinivas Acharya challenges some of the explanation that that Brahmin was giving. And then the king realizes that this looks like a saintly personality. So he gives it an opportunity to speak the Srimad Bhagavatam. And everyone is just mesmerized by Srinivas Acharya's rendition of the Srimad Bhagavatam and his explanation of the purports and the Ras Leela. So then the king gives Srinivas Acharya beautiful quarters to live. And the king, his queen, everybody decides to accept initiation from Srinivas Acharya. But before that, once the king was conversing with him in confidence, and at that time Srinivas Acharya narrates to him. He knew the king had stolen and the king had not confessed yet. So he just narrates to him that like this, we were traveling, three Vaishnavas were traveling from Vrindavan to Navadvipa, but a chest of books got stolen on the way. So then the king, obviously his heart had already become deformed by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and by association of Srinivas Acharya. So then very regretfully he confesses and he's feeling very guilty and he says, yes, I have that chest, we stole it, I'm so sorry, but I have saved it carefully. And he then takes him and gives him that whole chest of books back, which very grandly Srinivas Acharya then carries to Navadvipa for propagating the literature and the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But before he leaves that kingdom, the king, his queen, his sons and all the people in that kingdom accept Srinivas Acharya as their spiritual master. So he initiates all of them and then he proceeds to Navadvipa. And it is described that Srinivas Acharya was very close even to Janaka Mata. And after he reaches Navadvipa, he once again, you know, associates with all the devotees there. His marriage takes place. It's described he marries twice. So first wife was Ishwari, and the second wife was Gauranga Priya. And then he has some children. And one of his daughters' name was Hemlata, who also becomes a great preacher of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. And his son also carries forth, and his lineage is being carried forth like that. And Srinivas Acharya, I think, was the first person who celebrated Gaur Purnima festival in Kheturi. He was, you know, helping him organize. He was the organizer of the first festival that happened. So this was a few glories about Srinivas Acharya. And quickly in the next 5 minutes, we'll speak about Radhanandan's appearance here. So Srinivas Acharya's Guru Maharaj, or his initiating spiritual master, was Gopal Bhakta Goswami. And Radhanandan's appearance is actually because of the prayers of Gopal Bhakta Goswami. So Gopal Bhakta Goswami, when he was a young child, his father Venkatabha and his uncle was Prabodhananda Saraswati. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had gone to South India, once, you know, on a South India tour. And when he reaches Srirangam, the Chaturmas was just about to start. So Venkatabha was a great devotee of of Lord Vishnu. And he saw all these divine characteristics in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he realized that this is a great personality. So he actually invites him to his house and he requests Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that please stay with us for these 4 months, because anyway in these 4 months sannyasis are not supposed to travel, so you just stay here and every day we can do kirtans, you will have your association and you can take darshan of Ranganath Swami every day. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lovingly agrees to stay over there, and during the day he would do kirtan and take darshan, do kirtan in Ranganath temple. But every evening Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Venkatabha, Prabodhananda Saraswati, and at that time Gopal Bhakta was a young child of Venkatabha, he would also sit and they would all do Harikatha. They would have long, long hours of conversation on Harikatha. And then the 4 months passed like this. But by that time, Gopal Bhatta had become so attracted and attached to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was leaving, he actually wanted to go with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed him. He said, no, your parents are also pure devotees of Lord Vishnu. So do not give up them. Please serve them till they are very last days. And once they leave this world, then you can come. But that time also I want you to go to Vrindavan and associate with the other Goswamis who are living in Vrindavan. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami, although he was feeling separation, but following the instructions of the Lord rather than, you know, being with the Lord is more important. So he realizing that, he actually served his parents till they left this world and then taking the instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Again, he would have loved to go to Jagannath Puri to associate with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but the instructions were to go to Vrindavan. So he goes to Vrindavan and he starts associating with all the Goswamis there. And then once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to him in his dreams, so he was feeling a lot of separation. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually arranges for some of his devotees who were traveling from Puri to Vrindavan and he sets his own chaukhat. Chaukhat means his own sitting place and his own coffin as gifts for Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Because he saw that Gopal Bhatta Goswami was feeling a lot of separation from him. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami actually would every day worship the sitting place of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and this coffin he would wear on his head and, you know, Gurumaram made that so that he feels the presence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came in his dream and he told him that you should go to Nepal to the Gandaki River and I will reunite with you over there. So following these instructions, Gopal Bhatta Goswami travels all the way to Nepal. And while he is taking bath in the Gandaki River, you know how mendicants use their commander to pour water on themselves. So he actually takes water and he pours it on himself. And as soon as he fills the commander with water, he sees that some Shaligram Shilas have come into his commander. So thinking that, oh, this is a mistake, by mistake he must have floated into his commander, he actually pours them back into the river. And then second time he is again filling his commander with water. Again the Shaligram Shilas come into his Kamandalu. So again he thinks, oh, maybe by chance again they have come. So again he puts them back in the river. And the third time when he is filling his Kamandalu, there are 12 beautiful Shaligram Shilas which enter his Kamandalu. And again when he is about to put them back, he hears a voice which says that, remember I told you I will reunite with you? This is me wanting to come and accept your worship. So please accept these Shaligram Shilas and please start worshipping them. So then he realizes that this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction that I should start worshipping these Shilas. So he takes these 12 Shaligram Shilas back to Vrindavan and he starts worshipping them. And amongst one of those Shilas was Damodar Shila. So Damodar Shila is considered as a Bal, like the small childhood Shila of Lord Krishna. So he is worshipping these Shilas very nicely. According to the prescribed methods, he is doing all the worship, every day bathing them with holy water. Tulsi and holy water, those are the two most important ingredients in Shaligram worship, which he was doing very carefully every day. And then one day, when you know, merchant comes, a wealthy merchant comes to Vrindavan, and he has got lots of baby paraphernalia with him. So he has got beautiful dresses, jewelries, armlets, bracelets, earrings, and different ornaments and beautiful costumes for different deities. And this wealthy merchant is going around, a very pious person. So he goes around in Vrindavan and he's distributing these ornaments and jewelry and all that to all the Goswamis. And by then, most of the Goswamis had beautiful deities. So they were all like Sanatana Goswami had Madan Mohanji, Rupa Goswami had his own deity. So he was giving out all these deity paraphernalia to all these Goswamis and they were accepting it with great joy because they could use it in the Lord's service. And by doing that, he also comes to Gopal Bhatta Goswami and he donates to Gopal Bhatta Goswami as well. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami says, but I don't have deities, I have just these Shaligram Shilas which are round black stones. How will I utilize all this to worship them? But the merchant insists. He says, no, it is in my heart that you should accept it. I have given it to all the other Goswamis, so it would be my pleasure and it would be a big, big opportunity to serve you if you accept all this paraphernalia. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami keeps that paraphernalia with him and then, you know, he starts getting desire that, oh my God, I wish I could use all this paraphernalia in your service. So he keeps thinking like that, how he would have liked to have a home of the Lord where he could use all the saturnalia. And then Narasimha Chaturdashi had arrived. So during Narasimha Chaturdashi, obviously, like, you know, we also did over here Abhishek. We had, you know, talks about Narasimha Chaturdashi, like Lord Narasimha's pastime. So in the same way, Gopal Bhatta Goswami also celebrated that festival. He worshipped the Shalimar Shila very nicely. And then he opened the Bhagavatam and he started reading the seventh canto of Lord Narasimhadev. And because he had all this paraphernalia with him and that desire had started erupting in his heart, that how, you know, he would have loved to have a, you know, form of the Lord which he could dress and decorate. So while he was reading Narasimhadev's pastime on that particular Narasimha Chaturdashi, he was struck with wonder that how, just because Prahlad Maharaj said that yes, Narasimhadev is there in this pillar, the Lord actually manifested from that pillar just to keep up the desire and the promise of Prahlad Maharaj. Like Prahlad Maharaj proclaimed the Lord is there in the pillar, and to honor that particular proclamation, the Lord appeared from a pillar. So after he, you know, says this whole pastime, there was a devotee sitting and they are reading from the Bhagavatam. So in his mind, Gopal Bhatta Goswami was thinking and praying at the same time to the Lord. He is saying that if you could manifest from a pillar, my Lord, and that could manifest the species which is outside the 8.4 million species of life, that means anything is possible for you, my Lord. So you can manifest even from the Shaligram stone. So he is praying like that, because that day that desire was very strong in his heart of, you know, getting a form of the deity to worship. So praying like that, he actually retires for the night. He puts the Shaligrams also to sleep. So every night he would put a beautiful, like a clean suchi cloth, and he would then on his Shaligrams, and then he would sleep. So the next day morning when he woke up, he saw that the cloth was jutting up. The cloth which he had spread on his Shaligrams, you know, in one of the cases it was a little up, it was jutting up. So he was very amazed, and he thought maybe the form of the Lord has changed. So he quickly went and took a bath. And then he opened the cloth, paid obeisances and opened the cloth, and he realized that from the Damodar Shila, which he was worshipping along with the other 11 Shilas, a beautiful deity form of Krishna had appeared. And that deity form was so beautiful, like very intricate features, black shining body, like a Shaligram stone. He had black shining body, beautiful finger, even finger nails were there. There were two little teeth also coming out from the lips, underneath the lips. So such a beautiful deity had manifested. And his heart moved, like it was erupting with joy, his heart, on seeing this beautiful form of the Lord. And the Lord was, I think, six fingers, like this much taller than his head. So then he quickly goes and brings all the other Goswamis, Rupa Goswamis, another Goswami, and he tells them that, see what has happened. One of the Shaligrams, like Damodar Shila, has transformed into a deity. And all those Goswamis are also struck with wonder on seeing this beautiful deity. So then Rupa Goswami says, he says that the lotus feet, this deity is very special. He says that the lotus feet of this deity are exactly like Radha Madan Mohanji. The chest, the middle part of the deity is exactly like Radha Govindji, and the face of the deity is exactly like Radha Gopinathji. So, you know, the Sambandhya, Abhidhya and Prayojana deities of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, these are the three principal deities which Gaudiya Vaishnavas worship, and all the three deities are manifested in your deity. That is what Rupa Goswami proclaims after looking at the deity. And because the deity appeared next to the Rasasali, I think Nidhivan is very close by, where Krishna and Radharani have their pastime, and Krishna gives pleasure to Radharani through Rasleela. So because the deity had appeared very close from that place, Rupa Goswami names the deity as Radharaman, one who gives pleasure to Radharaman. So that is how the whole, you know, appearance, pastime of Radharaman happens, how he appeared from Damodar Shila, just to fulfill the desire of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, just as the Lord fulfilled the desire of Prahlad Maharaj and appeared to a pillar. And then the, you know, worship of Radharaman, even today, Prabhupada also says that they have the highest worship in Vrindavan. Radharaman worship is so high, standards of worship are very high. Even today the descendants of Gopal Bhatta Goswami are carrying on this worship. We let the class here, sorry, I've gone overboard. Any questions or comments? Alright. Prabhupada Ki Jai.